power hour. It's the one power hour. It's the who power hour. Yeah, yeah. Blacks, Hispanics, and Natives power hour. It's the one power hour. It's the who power hour. Yeah, yeah. Blacks, Hispanics.
Every Saturday morning, you need to be tuning in. Wake up, get crushed out your eyes, we about to go live, so come get the schooling in. About our oppression, we answer the questions like how do we get out this low estate? We let the scripts prophesy, we bringing the Bible to life so that you relate. The world thinks we're rejects, but that word we reject. Watch and we'll show you, precept upon precept, line upon line, the scripts say we're the greatest, and they can't debate it. Salvation is only for the blacks, Hispanics, and Natives.
Power, power. The one power hour. It's the who power hour. Yeah, yeah. Blacks, Hispanics, and Natives power hour. It's the one power hour. It's the who power hour. Yeah, yeah. Blacks, Hispanics, and Natives power hour. It's the one power hour. It's the who power hour. Yeah, yeah. Blacks, Hispanics, and Natives power hour. It's the one power hour. It's the who power hour.
Hey, shalom, Israel, Most High in Christ, bless. Welcome to another Wednesday night edition of the Power Hour. I am Captain Amariah.
Soldier Elkanah.
And like always, giving all praise to the Most High in Christ. All right, this is another edition, like I said, of the Wednesday night show, where we are currently on the whole scheme of casting out imaginations.
That's right.
And any vain thing that exhorted itself against the knowledge of God.
Uh-huh.
Right? So, like always, we discuss Native, Latin, and Black biblical topics. We're going into this whole thing about things that are a stepping stone for, not stepping stone, a stumbling block.
Yep.
That's the exact opposite.
Right, because it's not a stepping stone.
It really isn't.
Right.
I was listening to a song in the car called Stepping Stone. It's funny. Anyway, so, like always, let me start with, real quick. Well, not like always now.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I got you.
2 Corinthians in chapter 10. Because prior to going into tonight's lesson, you got to make a disclaimer. For those out there that want to just lump every group of that they see of people of pigmentation into
melanin,
right? Into one group of, okay, this must be this or this must be that.
Right.
No. 2 Corinthians 10, and let's start at verse 3.
Yes, sir. Book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh.
So for those of you that are seeing all these things going on within the media, social media, of these black militant groups, Israel United in Christ, we do not associate ourselves with any of these groups. Any group that promotes violence is not associated to us.
Organization. We do not condone anything that they stand for.
Listen, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal.
That's right.
Like the next verse is going to say. So although we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
There's one Savior, and that's Jesus the Christ. And the only way to receive that salvation is to come back and serve him sincerely and truth by keeping his commandments. But read verse 4.
Verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds.
So it's a nice little segue, right, from the announcement that we're not associated with groups into what we're going to be going into. But the weapons of our warfare, guess what, brothers and sisters? They're not carnal.
That's right.
They're not of this earth. We can't pick up weapons and fight against the man that God said, I'm going to use as the sword against you anyways. He said that there would be no might in our hands to fight against this man.
That's right.
And God can't be found a liar. So listen, all we got to do is come back to the commandments and the faith in Christ, and that's the true revolution. That's the only way to get salvation as an Israelite from your respective tribes. But it says that our weapons are not warfare, are not carnal, but are mighty through God of the pulling down of strongholds. So now going back into the class topic, Who is salvation for?
Mm.
Because a mighty stronghold on our people is salvation is open to anybody.
Right.
Anybody can receive salvation as long as they say, I believe in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Ha!
Hey.
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 Right? Now, I always say that, listen, I get it. I get it. Because as much as I didn't subscribe to Christianity or Catholicism or whatever doctrine of devils that you want to say that you subscribe to, because that's what it is, it's the Antichrist. Anything that goes against this Bible is the Antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I didn't subscribe to anyone in particular, when I first heard that salvation is not open to everybody, even I was like, oh, I don't know about that.
Mm-hmm.
So that lets you know that the ideology was still deep down somewhere
right.
inside of me.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't call it Christianity. I call it being agnostic or being whatever label that I want to say. Even if you say that you're an atheist,
right.
you still believe in something, right? Read verse 5.
Verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
It says casting down imaginations. Guess what? Salvation being open to anybody, if you're an Edomite or a Jebusite or a Moabite or an Israelite, right? That's an imagination of man. That's not of God. That's
right.
nowhere in the Bible. That's the World Council of Churches coming together and saying, listen, this is the flavor of the month or the flavor of the year.
Mm-hmm.
It's been the prosperity doctrine for many years,
mm-hmm.
right? Even as a kid, I'd be like, yo, like, why are we here for 2 hours and I see the collection plate 19,000 times?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember being a kid, being like 11 years old and feeling guilty for not having money.
Put something in the plate.
But here I am, a kid.
Yeah.
I don't have a job.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but I got Big Mama sitting over here like this, looking at me. I'm like, what am I putting here? My butterscotch candy that I got from the
right.
bowl out in the foyer. Like,
mm-hmm.
I mean, what do you want? But these things are imaginations that we have to cast down
mm-hmm.
because these things are the stumbling blocks, right? Not the stepping stones.
Right.
Because once you get over those stumbling blocks, then that's when you come get built up with those stepping stones.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
And right. they're just that. They're stepping stones.
Right.
Right. It's one step after another after another. That's why King David, he taught us, he said, listen, I made haste and I delayed not to keep the commandments.
Mm.
So it's impossible to learn how to keep all the commandments overnight. You should have questions. I hear all the time people say, oh, are you getting annoyed by my questions? No, good.
Mm.
You should have questions.
Mm.
It was you having the lack of questions that put you where you are now.
Mm-hmm.
It was me having the lack of questions that put me where I was. But then someone came to me and it triggered a question. And that answer triggered another one. It triggered another one. It triggered another one. Now, when I first learned this truth, it was easy for me to believe that salvation was only for the Israelites because I was seeking something so earnestly that when I heard it, I said, damn, I'm an Israelite. All praises,
mm-hmm.
right? But give me Deuteronomy 28, verse 48. But there's a lot of our people that still suffer from this, so when you come to them with this glorious gospel, which is this message that's been hidden for ages, the mystery that's been hidden for ages has now been granted unto them.
Mm-hmm.
They say, nah, I can't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28 and verse 48. Therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee.
So we have to understand that we are in these conditions that we're serving our enemies because it's the Lord that did those things to us. So now when it comes to receiving salvation, we got to understand that it's the Lord that's going to deliver us out of these conditions. The same way he put us in them, he's not unjust to bring us out of them. But like any good father, he has to punish his children. He said, listen, here's your rules and your regulations. I don't have earthly kids. You do.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's certain rules. Right, and if the rules are broken, then what? There's punishment, right?
Right?
So then why would God operate any differently?
Right.
Hebrews tells us, listen, the same way that you gave honor to your father that would punish you,
mm-hmm.
how much the more should you give honor now to your heavenly father?
Right.
Who can save your soul?
Mm-hmm.
Right? We don't?
Therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger, and in thirst, and in nakedness, and in want of all things.
So it says, for food, for for water, for clothing, for anything. It says, and then if you want to be slick, right, because you know our people, they're real slick. Well, what about this?
Mm-hmm.
So then the Spirit of the Lord put it on Moses, say, listen, it wants of all things. So if you want education, if you want a birth certificate, a death certificate, if you want a driver's license, if you want to leave the country, you need a passport. But yet our people say, well, I'm not in captivity.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's the ignorance that our people follow today, because for generations, we've always been told that we're whatever byword that we so ignorantly subscribe to, right? But it says the wants of all things, the wants of all things. So including how to love God or how to serve God and the wants of all things, guess what? This man taught us that salvation is open to anybody as long as you believe in Christ Jesus. And it sounds good. It feels good, right? Don't read the Old Testament. You could read that for the history, but the Old Testament is done away with. No, it's one book. Why would it still be a part of the book if it wasn't meant to be read and followed, right? Christ himself said, how can you believe me if you didn't believe Moses, right?
Right.
Let you know that he followed Moses, and if he's the ultimate example of what we should be following, then guess what? We also got to follow Moses.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, in want of all things, read.
In the want of all things, and he, and he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee.
So now, the yokes of iron, we saw different examples of these different movies that the Lord allowed to come out, right? Mm-hmm. In Django, and 12 Years a Slave, and all these different movies that came out, and Nat Turner and everything else. All praise the Most High that we got these visuals, but it doesn't profit us nothing if we look at those visuals and we can't relate it to the scriptures. Because this is the only book, this is the only relevant book in the earth. Christ said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. It's the only book that holds true throughout history because it was written before the earth was even made. So how can it not still be relevant today when it still ties into every single thing that we do as a people today? But it says, until we have destroyed thee. Now we use it to say, oh, until we were destroyed as a people and everything else. And but that's what it means.
Mm-hmm.
We've been now so destroyed that when I was first asked, hey, what's your nationality? Nationality means what nation do you belong
right.
to? God made 18 nations. I never knew that, right? But now I know, okay, what nation do you belong to? A typical person that's from America would say, oh, I'm American.
Mm-hmm.
Or they'll say, oh, I'm Peruvian. I'm English, right? But not the so-called Black and Hispanics and Native Americans. I said, oh, I'm Creole. So the nation you're from is a language?
Mm-hmm.
Ignorance.
Right.
Well, no, I'm Black. So the nation you're from is Black? Really? We're the only ones that you can line up 10 of us and ask the same question and get 10 different answers.
I asked a brother one time on a flyer mission. I was like, hey, brother, what's your nationality? He was like, I'm an earthling.
You know what? That's pretty bad, but I think I can top it. I think. Let me see. I said, hey, we were holding camp, and I was passing out flyers. I said, hey, brother, what's your nationality? He says, I'm a blood. I said, all right, gang.
Oh, wow.
I was like, man, that's probably the worst I've ever heard, ever,
mm-hmm.
ever. And I said, well, when you're ready to put away childish things
right.
and become a man, then leave this.
Exactly.
He was like, the hell is this? Lord's will he repents one day, right?
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. So now, when it comes to casting down imagination, so one point that I want to bring out before we get really deep into the topic is that I was having a conversation with somebody, right? And they say, what are you going to be teaching on? And I give my response, oh, just who is salvation for? For those of us that subscribe to this, and we've been here for a certain amount of time, for us, this is like the deep basics. Right, it's easy for us to sit here and go off the top of our head and scriptures that pertain to this topic to make it plain for people that are without this understanding.
Mm-hmm.
But I also understand that people that were all without the understanding, when they hear that, their natural thing is to say, oh, well, what's for anybody that believes in Christ, right? It's like, no, that's not what the Bible says,
right?
And they say, well, which Bible do you read?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
So it's like, so people want to engage in debates. So one thing that I, one point that I want to make extremely clear, right? Those of us that are here, that have been here for any amount of time, and those of you men that are being built up to be teachers in the streets, we don't debate. We teach. We don't debate nobody. Because when you debate somebody, that means that you're not fully persuaded in your mind that what I'm teaching is the truth. So I'm letting this person counter what I'm saying with what they believe in to try to persuade me to believe what they believe in. No, that's not how we roll. Right. Give me Galatians 2 real quick.
Yes.
Galatians 2, and I believe it's verse 2. Your favorite book.
Read Galatians.
And then forever be the joke. No, verse 4. Galatians 2, verse 4. We don't debate. We don't engage in back and forth. It's funny because when we're out on the streets teaching, people don't want to go set up on their own corner, but they want to come over and then all of a sudden expound upon what kind of knowledge that the Lord gave them with wisdom. The Bible tells you how to understand it. It tells you how to read it. It tells you everything. This literally is the book of life.
Yeah.
It's the keys to everything. It's the roadmap to everything. It's the blueprint of how you should live your life. It tells you what to eat, how to dress, everything else. So you want to come to me, not keeping commandment one, but the Lord is dealing with you. And I get it. In that darkened state.
Mm-hmm.
I was ignorant too. Right. I didn't profess that I knew this. But I professed that I had worldly knowledge that I thought could usurp this and how wrong I was, right?
Mm-hmm.
But read that real quick. First one.
Yes, sir. This is the book of Galatians, chapter 2 and verse 4. And that because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage.
So now we know at this particular time, right, Paul was writing to the church of Galatia, and there's people coming in that were trying to get them to go back into animal sacrifice. Because if me being a Levite, for instance, right, like I know I'm very Northern Kingdomistic in features,
yes,
right?
Sir.
But I'm a Levite. If I knew back then that I'd be fired from my position and have to start fending for myself other than having people bring me substance, I would feel some type of way about that, right? Kind of like people that are currently getting the Rona unemployment, right? That thing runs out at the end of the month. So it's like, you're going to have to get a job.
Right.
You know, it is what it is.
Same thing with these Christian pastors, too, because that's why they want to stop this truth.
That's all being brought to naught.
Keep ties going.
That's right.
Yeah.
All being brought to naught.
Yeah.
You would feel some type of way.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be like, damn, let me keep this thing going by trying to sneak in privily.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've seen it here numerous times.
Yeah.
People come in, they try to speak in people's ears, right? And then these simple ones of our people that don't study, that aren't rooted in this, start spreading heresies and doctrines and everything else. But that's what it is, though. People come in privily to spite our liberty that we have in Christ. And our liberty that we as repenting Israelites is that salvation is open for us and only for us. And that shakes people when they hear that.
Mm.
Salvation is only open to the 12 tribes of Israel.
Right.
So if you are not a so-called Black, Hispanic, or Native American on your father's side, because then that's the other thing, well, I'm mixed.
Right.
God don't deal with mixed.
Mm-hmm.
He deals with the seed of the father. And you can go back to 100 years ago and they say, oh, hey, what's going on? I'm Amariah, son of Jesse.
Right.
It was a common thing.
Mm-hmm.
People knew that, always. And that's why Esau took the man out of the household, because he understood, listen, the man's the head of the house, and his lineage is what carries the seed. But it says that they might bring us back into bondage. So same thing today, when people come in and they hear this truth and they're excited, salvation's open to me. Man, this is great. But then read verse 5.
Verse 5, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you.
You see that? It says that we don't give these people place, not even for an hour. I don't have to debate with you back and forth of who salvation is for. Now, when we have platforms like this, then of course we get together and we go over the scriptures to teach our people how special they are Listen, that's how you know when we just read in Deuteronomy 28:48, when it says that we would be destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
We come to our people with the glorious gospel that you are the children of Israel. And like this, what you do about that?
Mm-hmm.
And I know me, for instance, as much as I glorify hearing that, I still had one question, and guess what it was?
What about white people?
Yep.
I'm on it.
That's exactly what it was.
That's our people's main question.
It's the same thing when people come to us at camp and they see camp signs. And they, I don't see white people.
We're the Caucasians.
You know why? Because they've been put at the pinnacle of perfection.
Mm-hmm. Right?
White is right.
Right.
Black is whack. And we see brown, you frown. Right? That's the image that's been betrayed throughout the earth.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't even begin to fathom a world without white people.
Mm-hmm.
So as much as I was like, okay, that's cool, I'm Israel, but I'm like, but then who's going to be like running school? SH, right? because
who's
that's
gonna be
right? Yeah, because
who's gonna feed me? Who's gonna clothe me?
Yeah. Where would I go? That's
who's gonna teach me stuff?
Where would I go where I'm getting things better than this?
Right.
Because that's all I know,
mm-hmm.
right? When you go into scriptures and say, listen, you'll be a nation of kings and priests,
mm-hmm.
right? And faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God.
That's right.
So your faith gets established the more you study,
mm-hmm.
the more you read, the more you apply the commandments of God in the faith of Christ. And it's like, okay, now I know that he's the border of all wickedness, and this world needs to be rid of him.
Mm-hmm.
That way we can flourish as a people.
He's the deceiver on the earth.
It's funny because you tell people, oh, he's a devil.
Right.
And you're like, oh.
Not
listen,
massive. No.
Listen, you're thinking of horns and a pitchfork
right.
to the tail.
Mm-hmm.
We're telling you the word devil just simply means to deceive. Who's deceived you into thinking that you're a color and you're a language
mm-hmm.
versus a person that comes from a particular people and a nation of people that's been so great. They've been so great that their heritage had to be hidden from them. That way they wouldn't flourish above everybody else.
Mm.
That's the deceiver, right?
Mm-hmm.
Give me Hebrews 10, verse 20. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 20.
Sir, it's the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 20. By a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil that is to say his flesh.
I'm sorry, jump over to verse 23.
Verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised.
It says, let us hold fast, right? The scriptures didn't say, let us waver, let us hold kind of tightly. It says, let us hold fast our profession. The things we do that pertain to this world, those things we do because we disobeyed God,
mm-hmm.
right? Like how you read in Baruch, that we're subject to payments.
Right.
Right.
Those are occupations that we have in this world.
Absolutely.
Right.
I can't go to my leasing office and say, well, I didn't pay rent because my real profession is serving God.
Mm.
So what you going to do about that?
You say, hey, serve God on the streets then.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Well, then let's see what you serve on the first of the month as he's packing up a eviction notice on
right.
my door. Right. So we do the things that pertain to this world because of our disobedience. You know what's funny, too? Because I've heard people say in the past, I haven't heard it for a while, but I know there's people out there that still subscribe to it because there's still factions of these people still running around. But they'll say, listen, my profession is this, which they're right. So therefore, I don't work, and my wives
I got you.
Work,
mm-hmm.
and they provide monetarily while I do this.
Mm.
Right, first off, see this whole rabbit hole thing, man. First off, there's nothing with multiple wives, and that's a whole
right.
different topic. But I'll say one thing about multiple wives, though. The one thing, right? The one thing that people are lacking spiritually that they don't understand here in these last days, that, hold this real quick. I'm going to just get it, and then we'll get back on topic.
I'm here 4-1.
No.
Please?
It's definitely one of my favorites.
All right. Where are we at?
Ephesians chapter 5, verse 32.
Mm.
And I'll just get to the point, and I'll make my point about multiple wives that people that subscribe to that in these last days that they don't understand.
Mm. It's the book of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 32. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church.
So now when you jump up and start at verse 21 and read on down, Paul is speaking to the church in Ephesus, and he's explaining to them the relationship between a man and her husband.
Mm.
I mean, I'm sorry, a husband and his wife, right? And he's explaining that Christ represents the husband, and the church represents the wife, and vice versa. So the same way that salvation came to the Israelites, spiritually, in these last days, if marriage is a representation of Christ and the church, the husband and wife, when a husband takes on another wife, then you're saying it's okay that Christ died for the other nations.
Mm, salvation is for everybody.
Right.
Mm.
So it still ties into the topic a little bit, but I'll leave it at that.
That's why the scripture says it's a great mystery.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So when you say that a man could take on multiple wives, then you're saying it's okay that Christ died for the Edomites and the Moabites and the Ammonites and so on and so forth. Hell no, I'm not okay with that.
Right.
Because then that means I'm still going to be at least in the kingdom. You're doing all this enduring. You're doing all these things that pertain to this kingdom. And you're like, you know what? I'm doing this because the Lord said to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that there's a reward at the end. For your reward to just be that you're still where you are now.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And people are just okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
Hell no.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, the Lord has things. He says, eyes have not seen and ears have not heard the things that I have in store for you. Those that come back and love me. That's not a problem with everybody. He wrote that to the church in Corinth, who were Israelites, right? But read Hebrews 10 and verse 23 again.
Yes, sir. It's the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering.
It says to our profession of our faith without wavering. All right. This is our profession. We do the things that pertain to this world because we're commanded to. But this is our profession. All right. There's a video that the bishop had given. He did a lesson when we were in Seattle. Time management in 8 hours. If you need some guidance and on how to, where to start as far as your foundation on how to maneuver, right? Then start there. Right. Time management in 8 hours. The bishop does a great detailed class on adequate rest. Adequate things that pertain to this captivity, but more importantly, the things to be built up spiritually in God, right? Because this is our profession. This
That's
is
right.
what's going to get you salvation.
That's right.
Right? The Lord is not going to say, hey, listen, okay, I'll give you salvation because you put in 20 hours of OT this week, but then do nothing for him.
Mm.
It don't work like
right.
that. It does not work like that. You have to have this, unquenchable fire within you to serve the Lord. The same way that fire was unquenchable to do wickedness. And I trust me, I speak for myself wholeheartedly in that thing. Right? I was team no sleep many a days.
Man.
Right? That's why on the new moon, I was like, man, let me just hang out. Who cares?
Mm.
Next day, I was like, oh.
So it's been a minute.
Yeah. I was blaming my wife. Why should we do that? She was like, you're having a good time. Which I did. I'll praise the Most High in Christ.
Time,
right?
Sir.
But it's, like you said, it's a bad moment, right?
Yeah.
I'm not that young lion no more, right? As an old lion, who will rouse him?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But it says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. So the promise of salvation has been given to the Israelites.
That's right.
Let's glory in that.
That's right.
So for blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans, let's glory in that. Give me Matthew 1 and verse 21.
Sir.
Okay. Your wife commented.
Yeah. I bet it because I love you. No, she was like, I can't tell you what to do. So you're damn right. But for real though, next time, man.
Put a timer on the phone.
Yeah. This time just be like a little bit more in the spirit.
The book of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.
Hey, can you pull up the definition of his real quick?
His.
I actually think I have it on my phone, but I found it's the standard one on Google is fine. I actually meant to send it to you. I know I threw you a curveball.
He's like, hold on. Now we're up. It's real time.
He said, no, we're up. All right. Okay. So it says, the what I want is the pronoun, right? Because his is a possessive pronoun, right? Now, before you read this, give me your Zonovans real quick, sir, all right? Give me your Zonovans. Compact Bible Dictionary.
On deck, on deck.
Right? And then give me the definition of the 1611 King James Version Bible. You know what it says about how he had...
47?
Yes.
I got you.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Because Kevin Joshua has said this numerous times, and it's something I've heard numerous times since I've been in this walk. But the more I'm in and the more I go to definitions, because I was never like a definition guru until Kevin Joshua right here. So now I'm always looking at definitions, right? And this is the reason why. You got it?
I'm still looking for it. Okay. I had it marked.
Okay. How about now? So we have to understand that when there's words that are written in the scriptures, they're there for a reason. For a particular reason they're there. It's not just there just because, you know what, let me just throw this word as like an add-in, right? The St. James Brown that was just like, you know, let me add a to his lyrics to just make it sound good. Right? It's there for a specific reason. Read that real quick.
This is the Zonovan Compact Bible Dictionary definition of King James Version. 47 of the best Hebrew and Greek scholars.
So it says 47 of the best, not of the average, and not of just like, you know what, let me get you off the street. Hey, can you speak some Hebrew or Greek? It said 47 of the best Greek and Hebrew scholars, read,
of the day were divided into six groups.
Mm-hmm.
Three for the Old Testament, two for the New, and one for the Apocrypha.
So we'll bring that in again later on in a future episode, Lord's will, for the Apocrypha, for those that say it's not canon.
To show that it's of the Bible. Oh, no, that it's in the Bible.
It's in the Bible, but it's not of the Bible.
Right.
Ignorance.
Right.
Ignorance. Right? So that's all I wanted there.
Gotcha.
So I want to show you that King James didn't author nothing. He authorized something. And what he did was he got 47 of the best Greek and Hebrew scholars because he knew this. Give me Isaiah 28, verse 11, real quick, to show the prophecy before we read the definition of his, and then before we go back to Matthew 1, verse 21. Isaiah 20, verse 11.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 28, and verse 11. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people.
So it says, for with stammering lips and another tongue. When you read in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, it talks about tongues, right? It's not saying simatai tamatai or a wap badadudam. It's not saying all these things as much as people that subscribe to that might say, no, yeah, it is. I get it. The hardest thing you're ever going to hear, the hardest thing you'll ever hear is that everything you've always believed is a lie. It's hard. That's why they tell you don't talk about politics and don't talk about religion at work, because people will die for those types of things, right? But King James understood this prophecy that with another tongue, so he knew that. Listen, I have to get this. He had to authorize for it to be translated into English, but he didn't just get the average common man off the street and say, okay, listen here. You come here. You've now been commissioned by the king's men to come and do this great deed for the Lord. And he said, listen, I need 47 of the best to do this.
And there were scholars, too. Scholars.
And then even when you actually read further in that, it tells you even after that, it still went to another council and was reviewed. So, like I said, it's not just words that are just added there, like, you know what, this sounds good. This is a nice filler word. There's no filler word in the Bible.
Right.
Right? So now, read Matthew 1, verse 21 again.
It's the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus.
The she is referring to Mary. So this is an angel. He's speaking. He's saying, listen, she, which is Mary, shall bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Jesus. Right? One of the titles that he was given was Jesus, which means he saves, right? Our Savior. Read on.
Right. for he shall save his people from their sins.
His and their sins. So now, pull up the definition of his again real quick.
What dictionary is this?
No, this is just the standard Google one. This is one perfectly fine.
Yes, sir. The definition of pronoun, the definition of his, which is a pronoun, used to refer to a thing or things belonging to or associated with a male person or animal previously mentioned.
So it says, is used to refer to a thing or things
belonging to, right,
or associated with a male person, mm-hmm, right? So things that belong to or associated with.
Mm-hmm.
First, give me John 17, verse 9. John 17, verse 9.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see what things are associated to or belongs to Christ.
Belonging to, right.
For him to use the word his, mm-hmm, because he's the word made flesh. So when you read Matthew 1, verse 21, understand that that's the spirit of Christ being put on Matthew to write those things in the first place.
Right.
This whole book was authorized by him. Right? It's always been about Christ. But read that.
It's the book of John, chapter 17, verse 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world.
So that's a John 3:16 killer right there. Right? Because they'll say, oh, the world. Mm-hmm. See? The world. But it says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Not for the rest of all of existence, because Christ came to fulfill a particular purpose. He came to do the will of him that sent him. He didn't come to do his own thing. Actually, I just learned on the new moon that the whole thing about the Trinity, the big thing about the Trinity is that God can't change. So he came as Christ to be able to change things.
Hmm?
I was like, that's the dumbest doctrine. I was like, man, I wish I knew that when I did my Trinity class. I was like, I would have brought that out. But it is what it is.
Right,
he said, I pray for them. I pray not for the world. We don't.
But for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine.
It says, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Right?
Read verse 10.
Yeah.
And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them.
So now, in Isaiah 45, verse 17, to show who was given to Christ for him to use the specific words of his.
Hmm.
He shall save his people from their sins. Read that real quick.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 45, verse 17. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. You shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end.
So the world that John 3:16 is referring to is the world of the Israelites. Never will be ashamed ever again.
Right.
Because at one point in time when I said, hey, listen, I'm African American, I was ashamed because I was told, but that's two white men.
Mm.
You can't come from two white men, so where are you? And so, okay, I'm black. That's a color. So again, what are you?
Mm.
Oh, I'm Creole. That's a language. I said, damn, here I am, 25 years old, and I can't even answer a simple question as who I am. Right? I said, well, you obviously have the answer. Don't tell me. Stop withholding good things.
Right?
I said, well, you're an Israelite.
Mm.
I said, I don't know what that means, but I already like it.
It sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just sounds good.
Say it again. Yeah. It's like, chill, handsome. I don't even know what that means, bro.
Right.
I ain't never heard no Israelites. I've
never heard
nothing
that in the Bible.
As much as the Bible mentions the word Israel or Israelites, how is it that most of us have never heard what an Israelite ever was? Right?
It's
crazy. So go back to Matthew 1, verse 21 again.
Sir.
Again, the topic is who was salvation for? A very simple topic, right? Very simple, but listen, we're getting back to basics, and we're teaching our people precepts to build them up because we are in the last days, right? We're seeing all these prophecies come to pass, and these are the things that are going to be stumbling blocks to our people as they strive for the kingdom of heaven that will be established here on earth. Read that.
It's the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.
All this? No. focus and read verse 1 real quick. Because it says he shall save his people, right? So we already established that a pronoun for things that are associated to him that were given to him.
That were belonging to him.
Right. And Christ shall say, listen, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for those that thou hast given me.
Right.
So he prays for the world without him to be the nation of Israel.
Mm.
Never to be ashamed nor confounded. Bro, I was ashamed that I didn't know who I was.
Mm-hmm.
But listen, I can no longer be confounded because now I got the word of God on my side.
That's right.
And I can go to it precept upon precept. And so listen, as much as you want to gainsay, right, but you can't resist.
Mm-hmm.
Because the scripture says, I will give you a mouth to stand up against your adversaries. And as much as you're going to laugh and everything else, listen, when people laugh when you say things, that's the insecurity within them because they know this guy knows something.
Mm-hmm.
That's that demon within inside of them that's going cringing at the fact that the manifestation of the sons of God have been made evident on earth. That's what that is. So when I see that, I thank the Lord for that thing. Read verse 1.
It's the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham.
So if his wasn't a possessive pronoun that pertained to his people, like how people like to just not read verse 21, but go read verse 18 and say, see, he came through the Holy Ghost. Then why would verse 1 start with his generation and his genealogy then? That's, again, going back to what we just read in these honor events, it's there for a reason. It's not there for just nothing. It's there to let you know, listen, he came from this genealogy. So now, in Hebrews 7, verse 14.
In the spirit, I was just thinking of that.
One of my faves. Hebrews 7, verse 14.
It's the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 14. For it is evident.
Meaning it's clear. It's easy to see. Why? Because we go through the records and we read the different precepts. And we read things like Matthew 1 and 1, where it says the generations of Jesus Christ.
Mm.
If you know anything about lineage or anything about the Old Testament, right, then you would know, okay, listen, he came through the seed of, and what we're going to read that.
For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood.
So I had a conversation one time, and I told a family member, listen, we're from the tribe of Levi. He said, tribe, that's like some prehistoric stuff. Like, ew.
Hmm.
I said, you know that Christ is from a tribe, right? And he's like, I never read that in my Bible. I said, I'll show you. No, I'm good. Because, again, our people hate to be shown things, right?
Yeah.
But it says, it's evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah.
Mm.
Listen, Judah is the head tribe of the nation of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is.
That's right.
That's why when you read the prophecy in Genesis 49, he said, listen, thou art whom thou brethren shall praise.
Mm.
Right? And when you understand this thing spiritually and you understand that, listen, 12,000 from each tribe. Listen, I get it. Everyone wants to be Judah.
Mm-hmm.
I get it, right? But when you read in 2nd Ezra, it tells you that we testify our Savior openly. All praise to the Most High that Judah rose up and the rest of the tribes jumped up like a standing ovation.
Mm-hmm.
Because the other tribes wouldn't have been able to do what they did. There's no way. But his people, the genealogy where he came from was the tribe of Judah. And that can't be refuted. Could never be ashamed about that.
Mm-hmm.
No confounded, because the Bible makes it plain. It makes it clear.
Mm-hmm.
But when you read Matthew 1, verse 21, it says, he shall save his people from their what? Their sins,
mm-hmm.
right? So let's get the definition of sin.
Yes, sir.
We always like to say that the Bible is its own dictionary. It's its own thesaurus, its own glossary. You don't have to go outside of the Bible for anything. You can go to different books to reference certain things, but the Bible stands alone. That's why it says that it can't be made into another book, right? But read that real quick. Sin.
It's the book of 1 John, chapter 3, and verse 4. Whosoever committed sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law.
So transgression of God's laws. So I can't tell my kids, hey, listen, it's okay if you go outside and play in the cul-de-sac, but when the street lights come on, be inside the house. And then I look outside, and it's dark as hell outside, and there I see my kids playing with all the neighborhood kids. I don't go outside and punish all the kids. I punish my kids because my laws govern them.
Mm.
It's the same thing. It's the same exact thing with the Most High and us. He said, listen, I'm going to give you these laws because these will be your heritage to make you separate from everybody else. If you break them, there'll be punishments. If you keep them, you'll be set on high. The earth's been around for thousands of years, and we only have rulership for 80. That's it. That's all stiff-necked and rebellious. So that also tells you how much mercy that God really has. No one understands mercy and love like a repenting Israelite. Because if you see all the ill-ish that you did in your life, and then you read the scriptures, listen, if you ever wanted to prove that the blacks and Hispanics, natives, all the Israelites, all you got to do is read the book of Judges.
That was the same exact thing I was thinking.
Brother,
that's crazy.
All you got to do is
Judges.
Because
you get mad, too.
Every chapter starts with, and the children of Israel sinned
again against the Lord.
And you're like, damn, like if this is not my people, I don't know who this is. It's crazy. Give me Galatians 4, verse 5.
Yes, sir.
So we just read that sin is the transgression of God's laws, right? Sin is the breaking of God's laws.
Book of Galatians, chapter 4, verse 5. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons.
So I'm just getting some key verses, you know, because time's running out. But it says, to redeem them that were under the law. To redeem something means that you're pulling them out of a certain condition that they're in, right? And who more than anybody in the blacks and Hispanics and natives need to be redeemed from our conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're under the illusion of inclusion now with, now, oh, they're pulling down statues and they're doing this. And people are, I'm sorry, I didn't know.
Yeah.
Like, man, we need to know.
Mm-hmm.
Were you just born yesterday?
Yeah, did you not go to school? Like,
yeah.
They still teach that in school,
like, what are you
right?
talking about?
Right.
You didn't know. No,
mm-hmm.
no, you knew.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the whole world knew.
Mm-hmm.
But now they're pushing a certain agenda. So everything is to benefit them in the back scheme as far as money and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So don't be ignorant to those things. But it says to redeem them that were under the law that we may receive the adoption of sons. Right? We'll get back to the adoption of sons, but let's get the part where it says to redeem them that were under the law. Give me Deuteronomy 4, verse 44.
So book of Deuteronomy. Chapter 4, verse 44. And this is the law which Moses set before the children of Israel.
This is the law that Moses set before who?
The children of Israel.
Again, the law was the heritage given to the Israelites to keep them separate from everybody else. Things like fringes. Like, listen, the scripture says that you know a person by his gait, his countenance, how he dresses, how he acts. So you know an Israelite if you see a man with a beard. You see him wearing fringes. He tells you, oh, no, I can't do that on Friday night because I keep the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
This is how you know. So he wanted us to be separate from everybody else, right? So when it says to redeem them that were under the law, only the nation of Israel was under the law.
That's right.
So we're the only ones that could be redeemed to receive salvation in the first place.
That's right.
You get Acts. And you know what I want.
That's five. So,
let's get that.
It's the book of Acts. Chapter 5, verse 31, get straight to it.
Start at verse 29.
Verse 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men.
So as we come out of these low estates, these conditions that we've been in, like how Isaiah says that we've been taught by the precept of men how to fear God and love him,
mm-hmm.
right? So as we're coming out of these things, we've got to understand, listen, ask questions. Don't go by what anybody says, but like also in Acts when it says that they search the scriptures daily to find out whether those things be so.
Mm-hmm.
You have to study and ask questions. Otherwise, you could be led astray. If you don't have questions, then you might as well go back to the Christian church.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way you could read the Bible and not have questions. But it says we ought to obey God rather than men. Read.
We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree.
So I wanted to start there. so we can get the in its context.
In its context, right? Proper context. Got to do that.
It's speaking about Christ.
Yes, sir.
It says that whom our fathers raised up Jesus, whom he slew and hanged on a tree,
mm-hmm.
right? So talking about Christ, read.
Him hath God exalted with his right hand.
In Christ has God exalted with his right hand, read.
To be a prince and a savior.
Meaning to bring salvation, because Jesus means savior, or he saves. So he shall save his people pertaining to the nation of Israel, because that's who was given to him by God, read.
For to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins.
To Israel, who is at war without end, and forgiveness of sins, because we were the ones that were kept under the law to be able to be redeemed as the adoptions of sons.
Mm.
You mean Romans 9.
Romans 9 is like how Captain Joshua would like to say. These are hot bars that Paul is spitting.
Romans 9 is like the spine of the Bible. We were in camp one time, and the dude was like, but what you guys say about Romans 9? And I was like, and what verse? He said, well, let's start at verse 1 and read on down. You know what? Let's start at verse 3.
Book of Romans, chapter 9 and verse 3. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh.
So Paul, who himself was an Israelite of the tribe of Benjamin, of the nation of Israel, he's letting us know that there's no such thing as spiritualism, right? It says his brethren and his kinsmen according to the flesh, read.
Who are Israelites?
So his brethren and his kinsmen according to the flesh are the Israelites.
That's right.
Read.
To whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory.
So like we were earlier, the adoptions of sons,
right,
that only pertain to the Israelites.
Mm-hmm.
Those that come back and to keep the commandments of the Most High God and the faith of Christ. You'll receive the adoption, read.
And the glory.
The kingdom of heaven, read.
And the covenants.
The covenants, the old and the new covenant. The old, when it says testament, the word testament simply just means agreement. So under the old agreement, if you sin, you were forgiven of sin through animal sacrifice. Under the new agreement, now all sins can be forgiven except blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. But both covenants, testaments, pertain to the Israelites, read.
And the giving of the law.
There it is again. So if you didn't believe it because it was written in the Old Testament, here it is in the New. Everyone's favorite writer is Paul, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Paul said. But Paul said. You know what? That sounds like, I don't know. Let's read Galatians.
No, let's go back to Galatians. Right.
And the giving of the law, read.
And the giving of the law and the service of God.
Read.
And the promises.
Read.
Whose are the fathers and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came.
So Christ came to the Israelites for the adoption of sons, for the covenants, for the glory and everything else. Read.
Who Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen.
He is the King of kings and he's the Lord of lords. Let me get Hebrews 9 and verse 15.
The book of Hebrews, chapter 9 and verse 15.
I got two more scriptures. That's it.
And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament.
And for this cause, he is the mediator, meaning that middle person to mediate things between us and the Most High. The same way that Moses was that mediator between us and the Most High and the Old Covenant, because the laws have been around since Genesis, right? But we had to be reintroduced to the laws when we came out of captivity in Egypt. The same way Christ is going to lead us out of the second Exodus and re-give us the laws again and teach us perfectly face-to-face. That doesn't mean that we don't rehearse the righteous acts. For all the ignorant rangers out there that may say, that's not what that means. Of course that means that. You kidding? You think you can be lawless here and just turn on like that in the orderness?
That's Christianity right there.
That's when heads are getting chopped off.
Mm-hmm.
But it says, for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament.
That by means of death.
That by means of his death, because he was the ultimate sacrifice, right? He was the one that was killed for us to be brought back into and grafted back into the Lord. Read. Mm-hmm.
For the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament.
Who were under the first testament? The Israelites.
Mm-hmm.
You can read that in Psalms 50 and verse 5. That he made a covenant with them by blood. But now, rather than animal sacrifice, we're now made perfect through Christ's blood. Read on.
They which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance.
That's the thing. Many and you're called, but few are chosen. When you read back in Romans 9, it tells you we're not all Israel who's of Israel, meaning don't let just the fact that you're the seed of Abraham and the flesh of an Israelite think, okay, I'm good, I got the kingdom. Hell no. It takes works. It takes actions. It takes discipline. It takes putting off everything this world has to offer and putting on the full armor of God to, in order to receive those promises. That's scripture. Let me get 1 Corinthians. Maybe a second. This just popped in my head.
Mm-hmm.
2 Corinthians. Yep. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 15, right? Because, listen, we bring out these lessons to build our people up so that way when they, because people may be new to this walk, right? And you're going to be told by your family and so-called friends that you're in a cult, you're brainwashed, you're this, you're that. Understand something. Christ said that everyone shall hear, then the end shall be, right? Christianity is throughout all four corners of the earth. When I say Christianity, I'm talking about every sect and denomination that ties into that, which is literally every religion.
Mm-hmm.
It's everywhere. Christianity, Catholicism, Islam, Buddhism, it's in the four corners of the earth, but the end's still not here. They let you know that's not the truth, right?
That's right.
But then he says, listen, you will be hated for my name's sake. So when you come to them and you tell them that salvation is only for the blacks and Hispanics and Native Americans, when they come back with hate and they laugh at you and mock you and everything else, count that all joy for Christ, because he said those things would happen to you. It's meant to increase our faith. But read this.
The book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 12 and verse 15. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you.
So it says, I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Listen, I don't mind having countless nights giving counsel,
mm-hmm.
right? Sleepless nights giving counsel. I don't mind losing sleep to be out on missions and traveling and doing things like that, taking jobs where I take pay cuts because I'm doing things to help the ministry of God instead. I don't mind saying and doing things at the forefront, even though it means that my family is saying, oh, was it the war? Was it Iraq?
Mm-hmm.
So, yo, I've been back for all these years, and all of a sudden, now it's the war. But 2 weeks ago when I was smoking weed and I was nigga cooned and everything was good,
yeah,
right?
Was cool.
But now I'm saying, oh, I don't do that no more because God said don't do it.
Mm.
Listen, we as the men of the Lord that are being risen back up to teach this gospel to our people, we will very gladly spend and be spent. Read.
Mm. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved.
This is a thankless job. And we understand that as men of the Lord, the more that we love our people, the less we're going to be loved. So you see all these things happening in the earth today? It's not going to stop, because you can't stop what God said. It's going to further the truth. It says there's nothing that can be done against God, but everything is done for good. As though we in our carnal minds might say, damn, how are we going to do this? God says, it's all good.
Mm-hmm.
Their enterprises shall not stand.
Mm-hmm.
I will take the crafty and the devices. So as much as we love our people, the less we be loved, and we understand that this is a thankless job. But we give all praise to the Most High in Christ.
That's right.
Because we could be without this knowledge.
Mm.
Right? So with that, I'm going to say shalom. I pray it was edifying. All right? Lord's will, you guys tune in Saturday to another edition of the Power Hour.
The Power Hour.
The 144K.
That's right.
Where we discuss Native Latin and Black biblical topics. All right? Join me again next Wednesday, Lord's Will, Life Last. Until then, stay in the spirit, stay faithful, all right? Stay studied up. With that, we say shalom.
Shalom.
It was crazy how many scriptures it is that show that Christ only came from a certain group of people.
That's like the tip of the iceberg too.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Because I was like, because I went home and I showered. I was like, man, I'm starving. Like, I'm gonna get something to eat. And I'm like, I can just freestyle this class, man. Like, there's no reason why anyone that's been here for a year or longer can't just freestyle who salvation is for.
I don't think a lot of brothers can do it for like an hour though.
Right.
Brothers can bring out some precepts, but they won't be able to do it for a whole hour.